The following audio is from Covenant Life Fellowship. For more information about our church, please visit us at www.clfroseburg.com.
So, today we are going to talk about calling, and more specifically, a woman's calling. And I am not here to bring us something new and fresh, but to remind us of what we already know and have learned from God's Word. I am not a great speaker of the Word of God, but Jesus did speak in stories, giving us practical examples and principles that we can follow. And so my hope today in my prayer is that we can dive into the practical and tangible aspects of a woman's specific and very important calling. What exactly do you mean by calling, you might ask? When you think of calling, you might think, hey, your boss is calling, you know, answer the phone. Maybe you think of, I have to call to set up appointments or pay bills, whatever, make some calls. Maybe you think when you talk about calling, you think of, hey, I got to call my kids in from the backyard. Perhaps you think of a specific person that God is calling you to minister to. But the calling that we're going to talk about tonight is our divine calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a full-time vocation, a lifelong investment and pursuit of what we as women are supposed to be doing. Praise the Lord. He is always good. And I pray today that He will guide our lesson, that He will guide our learning, and that He will guide our understanding and application. We're going to start in the beginning, where God first showed us why we are here and what we are called to be doing. We are not going to spend a lot of time here, but I think it's important for us to be reminded of the foundation where we begin to lay our first stones to talk about calling. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there, and I think it's going to be on the screen. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is a general calling. This is a call to both males and females. All are created by God and for God in his own image to be an image bearer, have dominion, and to be fruitful. An image bearer is created by God to display the qualities of God, to mirror and reflect the character of God. We are to have dominion, which is a job of bringing order to creation. We are to bring life to creation by being fruitful. This is our general calling. It is important, but it isn't specifically female. Let's dig in a little further to see what we're talking about. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Here we begin to see a woman's specific calling. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him. and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into woman and brought her to man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." R.C. Sproul, in his study notes, says this about the phrase, "a helper fit for him." The word helper entails his inadequacy, not her inferiority. For elsewhere, it is often used of God. The expression "fit for him" assumes a complementary relationship. What he lacks, she supplies, and vice versa. Both share the image of God. In verses 19 and 20, Adam is being prepared for God's gift of Eve by becoming aware of his loneliness and lack of companionship. So we see here that first Adam was made and then Eve was made for Adam with a specific purpose in mind. This is the first time a specific female calling is mentioned in the Bible, a helper. We see that two times in this passage, and it is mentioned that man needed a helper fit for him. What exactly does it mean to be a helper? And why is it so important? This is what we are going to dive into just a little bit today. My hope is that our little talk here will just whet your palate and get you praying and thinking on how God is specifically calling you to be a helper. God created the woman to be a suitable helper to man. This is a specific purpose. And as R.C. so rightly stated, both men and women are image bearers of God, and both are complementary to one another. So to start off right from the beginning, you do not have to be married to be a helper. So if you are single or widowed, don't count yourself out. This is God-ordained, God-honoring, and image-bearing calling. First, I will address the single ladies. You are not immune to the calling of helper. Your helper calling is just as important as a married woman's, just different. Your divine summons, your vocation, is to prepare yourself for your future role as helper to your own husband by being a helper to man in a myriad of ways. For some women, they may never marry, but they will continue in their helper role. We will talk about how this looks in a minute, but first I want to address the danger of not committing to the helper role in the stage of singleness. The danger of this stage in your life is to waste your singleness by focusing on self, self-fulfillment, self-realization, self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-focus, self-improvement, self-preservation, self-appreciation, self-gratification, self-love, self-importance, self-involved, self-seeking, self-absorbed. I could go on and on. I looked it up, and there are so many self words, it's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. There are hundreds. But the last one I want to mention is self-destruction. Self and focus on self leads to self-destruction. Let's face it. In our world today, single ladies are encouraged to be all about self. To the world, the idea of being a helper is senseless. It doesn't fit. I would say to you, God's helper design is essential for you to help you overcome yourself, to learn to fulfill your God-given calling of helper will bring so much joy and contentment to your life. Joy of the heart and contentment in who you are in Christ. Being a single helper builds the family and builds the church. Praise the Lord for single ladies who recognize their calling, put away self, and strive to build the body of Christ by helping. Godly single women should prepare themselves for the helper role by being a helper. It's pretty profound, huh? What I mean is this. Build the church by caring for the body of Christ. Use the gifts that God has specifically given you to serve, nurture, and grow the body of Christ. If you have family nearby, help them. This is not only a calling of service, but of image bearing together, complementing somebody's gifts with your own. You are called to be spiritually grow and nurture all of those God has given you to help and care for. The specific femininity, nurture, and wisdom that come from women in need is needed in the body. Use your gifts of discernment, mercy, hospitality, giving, discipling, knowledge, faith, evangelism, nurture, organization, teaching, and wisdom to cultivate an attitude of helper. When single ladies focus on these things, on helping disciple people, using their gifts for God's glory, and building the church, self is forgotten, and self-sacrifice and giving of self become the helper's cry. The helper is joyful, content, and fulfilled because, ladies, we are called to help. God gave us the ability and gifts to help. Bear the image of God and fulfill your calling of being a helper. What does this look like for you? In what way has God gifted you to help? Ladies, the image and glory of God is proclaimed and displayed when we fulfill our calling of helper. Praise the Lord. He has created us to be helpers, and the ways of the helper role is accomplished are many and varied. I love this quote by Abigail Dodd. The ultimate meaning of true womanhood is this. It is a distinctive calling of God to display the glory of his Son in ways that would not be displayed if there were no womanhood. My sweet friend Melissa is now married with children. She didn't get married until she was 32 years old. She spent her single years fulfilling her calling of helper. She embedded herself in the work of the body of Christ, and she deeply involved herself in my growing family. She spent time in our home, visiting and playing with my kids, and discipling them. She always encouraged them to love God and love their family. She actively listened to the instruction I gave to my children and always backed me up as a caring authority who was always out for their good. She was a blessing to me. She helped me by investing herself in our family. And I believe she would say today that she was learning to be a helper by involving herself with us. I remember in those years, it wasn't easy for Melissa. She struggled with her desire to be married versus her state of singleness. But she still had joy and contentment in the calling that God had for her in this season of her life. My friend Bonnie was around 36 when she got married. She did not waste her helping role. She invested herself in her own family. She had many nieces and nephews that she discipled, and she helped them in their homes. She ended up moving to Haiti, where she worked in an orphanage and became a mother to many. She faithfully served God in talents that he graciously gave her. Imagine what would have happened if she wouldn't have been a helper and she wouldn't have went to Haiti. Praise the Lord for my friend Melissa and my friend Bonnie, who took their calling seriously. The specific feminine gifts that God has given to women are essential and necessary in society. God's perfect design for providing a feminine helper for Adam completes the design that God planned, and the male and female complement one another in gifts and talents. Now to the married ladies. Excuse me. A helper is a woman who is designed and equipped by God to help her husband fulfill the vision that God has called him to do. A wise woman helps her husband pursue and achieve the calling that God has placed on his life. She studies him and learns his dreams, gifts, passions, and calling. When you help your husband, you are a helper to Christ, fulfilling your calling, because God has commissioned your husband for a purpose and a divine calling. When you marry, the helper calling gets more specific, doesn't it? That does not mean that when you get married, you only help your husband and stop helping elsewhere. But it does mean that you have one primary person to help, and he will come first above all others in need of our specific helping gift. We all wear many hats, but the calling to be helper is very specific and narrowed to one man alone. And he is an ever visible reminder of the high calling to help. The danger of self is just as real here, but cannot stay hidden so easily when the specific subject of our calling is right in front of our eyes. The lazy self is often quick to consider our own desires to help elsewhere or ourselves over our first responsibility. This happens for various reasons we won't discuss today, but remember, the image of God is at stake. Do not forsake your calling to be a helper fit for him. What does it mean to be a helper to your husband? Is this limited to service jobs such as to-do lists, caring for your kids, helping with income, making meals, keeping house, making love? Okay, I can think of lots of ways to help him. I can organize his closet because it looks like a tornado in there. I can hide that ugly shirt that he really loves. It's kind of embarrassing when he wears that one. Hey, I could give him a to-do list of things I want him to do. I mean, come on. I can help myself too, right? I know I can. Remind him every several days in a row that he should be more helpful with the kids, more involved, and to check that squealing sound coming from the dryer. Is this helpful? Is this fulfilling the calling that God has given me? I would say no. What is being a helper fit for him? Ladies, ask yourself this question. What is my husband's calling? What talents has God given him to use for the glory of God? What is God calling my husband to be doing? If you don't know the answer to that question, then you should start studying him and asking him questions to find out. Ladies, we help our husbands by assisting him to fulfill the calling that God has placed on his life. If he is a coach and sees coaching as a calling to minister to adults for the glory of God, then how can you assist him? You can host a dinner and a Bible study led by your husband for those kids. You can help him show Jesus love by supporting his efforts and displaying Jesus in your marriage. Several years ago, this became very apparent to me. I recognized that David's primary calling of God is to communicate God's word. And he's really good at it. Excuse me. I didn't want to limit him to the pulpit alone, but my selfish desire to have him at home with me and the kids. I wanted to give him the freedom and support to be a minister of the gospel outside of the pulpit. I love the fact that he enjoys coaching baseball. Not only does he just go out and play baseball, but he disciples those young guys, and he teaches them how to be men. He hands them the life skills that they need to be godly men in this crazy, sinful world. He teaches them the gospel. I encourage him to listen to him and help our kids to learn to be excited about baseball season by my own words and actions. I can honestly say that every one of our kids loves baseball. If I had whined and bemoaned the fact that he was out having fun with somebody other than his family, playing a game, I don't think that my kids would love it so much. They would hate it. They would complain about Dad being gone. Instead, I worked hard to stay positive, to come alongside him with our kids in tow. My attitude about David's pursuit of coaching baseball has everything to do with the way my children respond. We do it as a family. Sometimes I take them to practices and they would play or watch him coach the team, get to know the kids. We go to as many games as we can to support him and cheer him on. I am so thankful that God placed it on my heart to not keep him for myself, but to push him out and encourage him in his gifts. We know our husband is called to love his children. Women are creative. We are a creative bunch. Instead of nagging him to do something with the kids, think up creative ways for him to interact, but to make meaningful memories with you and the children. Help him be a better father by being a better mother. Does he have a servant's heart? Give him the freedom to help somebody. Better yet, give him the freedom and go with him to help. Does your husband have a teaching gift? Encourage him to teach and give him the time to study uninterrupted. What is more attractive than your husband studying God's word? Tell your husband where you see Jesus at work in him. Show him honor and respect by pointing out his good character and by being excited to listen to what God is doing in his life. Honor him for how he was able to minister to a coworker or pray with a friend. Help him by listening to him and being his confidant and biggest advocate. Encourage him to continue to pursue his own calling and talking about him respectfully to others. What is your husband's gifts and talents? What is his specific area of ministry God has called him to? How can you make it easier for your husband to do what God has called him to do? Orient your life and schedule around supporting his calling. Align yourself with his calling and help him accomplish it. What joy, what fulfillment when we honor our husbands and God in this way. Ephesians 5:31-32 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The mystery is that our marriages are a display or a picture for the world to see the relationship of Christ and his church. When we as women truly fulfill our helper calling, we are image bearers of Christ and his church to the world, who is watching us. What a high calling to show the world through our marriage the relationship that Christ has with his bride. Do you see the picture? Our marriages are bearing an image, a mystery showing Christ and the church. We are helpers, and it is a deep, high, and divine calling. Don't waste your helping. Don't follow the world's self-centered ways. Show the world Jesus. Show the world Jesus by being a helper fit for your husband. Our very own Lori Keller is an exemplary example of somebody who has studied her husband and embedded her life in her husband's calling. She is truly a helper to him, but she also fulfills a large role being actively involved with her grandkids and extended family in planning events like this at our church, heading up the relief ministry, and keeping the elder wives organized. But I can say that in all the ways she helps her family, the body of Christ, and the ministries here at the church, her role of helper to Mike always comes first. Linda Behrens is also a great example of a woman who keeps her husband's calling at the forefront of her mind and actions. She supports and helps her husband Steve in his calling while also listening and taking advice from him on what kind of helper she should be beyond her calling to him. Linda started the Young Moms Ministry here at the church. She faithfully invests time into her role of helper by leading the women by example, teaching, devotion, and prayer. She often asks her husband for advice and prayer in her helping ministry, and they are willing to work together to minister to the young families. Last, but certainly not least, I would like to address the widows among us. You have experienced all the stages we have talked about so far, but you are not finished or immune to the dangers that keep us from the helper calling. The call to help still stands. The danger here is to say to yourself, I have done my duty. I have been a helper. The danger is the same as before, just a different stage of life. The danger is self. If you have children and even grandchildren, you have so much to offer in lessons you have learned, good and bad. You too are church builders, image bearers of Christ. Don't waste your widowhood. Disciple somebody. Get to know people in the body and help them. Do you know someone who is struggling? Go to them. Sit with them. Visit while you help them fold their laundry. Cook a meal with them and take it to somebody who's in need. Be creative. Pray and ask God where He wants you to help. There are so many needs. There are so many gifts. And you have the gift to help and encourage, teach, disciple, listen, and love. My grandma is a 93-year-old godly widowed helper. I am so proud of her. She is an example to me. She is an example to us all. She is fulfilling her helper calling, and it brings her great joy. She studies her Bible and continues to grow, and she prays. Thank you, Lord, for Grandma's prayers. Not only does she pursue her personal growth, but she helps others. My 93-year-old grandma makes meals for sick families. She visits shut-ins and takes the meals. She visits an older lady who is an atheist. She shows her God's love by being her friend, speaking about her own relationship with Christ when she has the opportunity, and takes homemade pies so they can sit together and have tea and pie while they visit. My 93-year-old grandma ministers to her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren by sending them encouraging cards and telling them how she prays for them specifically. She started a grief group at her church for widows and widowers. She hosts the senior luncheon in her home when she can. I am so proud of my widowed grandma. I am so thankful to be on the receiving end of her help. She has not forsaken her helper calling. She is a minister of the gospel, being an image bearer of God and fulfilling her calling. She is loved and she loves. Widows, do not forsake your calling. Don't waste it. God has called you to help. The greatest example of the important role of helper is found in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He is called our helper. This is the same exact word for helper as our calling of helper. The Holy Spirit is uniquely positioned to help us accomplish the calling of God and become more like Jesus every day. The Holy Spirit is critical to our spiritual life and growth. And just like the Holy Spirit's helper role, God has called and equipped women with all kinds of gifts to help fulfill this calling. Susan Hunt says it this way: when we consider how God is our helper, we begin to see the richness and the strength of His word. Helper is not a fragile word, and we are not called to a mission of fluff. This is a life-giving ministry of nurture, defense, comfort, and caring. It is the design stamped upon us at creation. It is intrinsic to who we are as women. It is good because God is good. So how should we, all of us, go about fulfilling our call of helper? First, I should obediently commit to the calling of helper because joy is the fruit of obedience. The greatest joys and contentments come when I am obedient to what I know God has called me to do. It is easy to become discontent in your calling when you continually look to yourself instead of keeping your eyes on the wonder and glory of God and the specific calling He has given you to accomplish. What pleasure and delight it brings when a woman joyfully commits to her calling. A joyful heart is good medicine, isn't it? I think a joyful contentment to be a helper will not only bring joy to you, but also to the one who's being helped. Second, I fulfill my calling of helper by having a thankful heart. A heart of gratitude changes my perspective toward God and the one I'm helping. If my attitude is thank you, Lord, for calling me to this great vocation of helper, and thank you, Lord, for providing somebody for me to help, then I have a God-centered perspective of my position rather than a self-centered one. Thirdly, I should fulfill my calling of helper with all wisdom and understanding through prayer and reliance on the Holy Spirit. In James 1:5, we read, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." It takes wisdom and understanding to be a godly helper who uses her gifts and talents wisely. Self can easily become embedded into our service if we do not use the wisdom that God offers to us. So many times, my sincere prayers for wisdom and understanding have changed my methods of helping or stopped me in my self-helper actions. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are accessible to us through prayer because of the life, death, and resurrection of the Savior. Praise be to God that I am not left on my own to accomplish this divine calling that God in His wisdom has given me. You may realize that it is a tremendous task and high calling that we cannot accomplish on our own. The Bible is filled with examples of women who acted on their own, selfishly, rather than commit to the helper calling. Eve served herself by taking the fruit in the garden. Sarai served herself by giving her servant Hagar to her husband Abraham instead of waiting for God to provide an heir. Gomer served herself by giving herself to worldly pleasures instead of committing herself to fulfill her role of helper. But the gospel transforms us to no longer serve ourselves, but to serve Him, the one who made the way for us to be able to fulfill the calling of helper. The only way to be a joyful, thankful, full of wisdom helper, and understanding helper is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 14-15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. Do you see the amazing news in this text? God loves us so much that he sent his son to live in our place and die in our place. And when we submit ourselves to God, he transforms us from loving ourselves to loving Christ. See, God not only calls us to be helpers and servants of God, but he transforms us so we can do it. What amazing news, and what a gracious God we serve. I pray for us all that we will seek Christ first in his kingdom, that we would surrender ourselves to God and ask him to show us how to fulfill this divine calling, the reason we were created, to be a helper. Each one of you have specific gifts and talents that God has given you. The Holy Spirit will help you as you help. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the women here. Thank you for creating us and calling us to be helpers. Thank you for our femininity. We know and believe that you have specifically called each one of us to be a helper. Lord, show us. Help us by your Holy Spirit to not forsake this great calling. Lead us individually to fulfill our calling and bring glory to your name. Amen.
This sermon has been proudly given in response to cherishing the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more sermons and information about Covenant Life Fellowship, please visit us at www.clfroseburg.com.